This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry. We're looking at episode number 6 called The Runaway Kid. This aired originally on November the 7th, 1960, was written by Arthur Stander, was directed by Don Weiss. This show opens up with a cute little scene with Opie and his friends having one of those Wild West gunfights right on the sidewalk near the courthouse, and Opie and his buddies are shooting each other. Then Andy walks up, and Opie shoots Andy, and Andy pretends he's been hit in the left shoulder, and says, "I can't believe you'd shoot your pa." And Opie says, "Well, you've got to die." And Andy says, "Well, son, I'm just too busy to die. I'll have to die later on." So, it's a funny little opening scene. And then the three kids decide they're going to push Andy's car in front of the fire hydrant. Again, they call it the fire plug. The kids thought it would be funny that the sheriff would park right in front of a fire hydrant. So they do that. Barney comes up, notices the squad cars parked in front of the fire hydrant, and he comes in and very judiciously and hesitantly talks to Andy about he's going to have to give him a ticket. And the funny part of this scene is that Andy says, "Well, I'll let you be justice of the peace, and I'll plead my case." And Andy basically says, "I've been sheriff for 5 years. I've never parked in front of the fire plug. I think I'm part of a prank." And Barney, with his fiery emotions, says, "I agree," and stomps out, said, "Case dismissed," and stomps out of the courthouse. And, you know, everybody's just laughing because Barney's so into it. Opie comes into the courthouse then, and he tells Andy that they had pushed the car in front of his fire hydrant. But he says something very interesting to Andy. He said that he had promised that he wouldn't snitch on his friends and tell on them, but he had just told Andy that what they had done. So Andy talks to him about he should never break a trust, that he needs to keep a promise. So later on in the episode, there's a kid that's introduced as George Tex Foley. If you look closely at this kid, you may remember seeing him in other things. This kid is known as Pat Rawson, and he appeared in many shows throughout the 1960s, including Dennis the Menace, which I'm sure some of you older folk, and older I'm talking about my generation, probably remember that black and white show. So again, Pat Rawson did appear in Dennis the Menace. But what he does in this episode is George Tex Foley. He's planning to become a cowboy, and he's thinking about running away to Texas or Wyoming. And so Opie tells his pa that he has something he wants to tell him. He must promise not to tell on, to break the trust. And he basically tells him that little George wants to run away from home, and Opie wanted to tell his dad, but he wanted Andy to promise that he wouldn't call the kid's parents. So Andy makes the promise, and then realizes he's got himself in a fix because he's told Opie he must not break a trust, but yet here he is as a kid who's run away from home, and Andy realizes, my gosh, the kid's parents must really, really be worried about him, and he's trying to figure out a way to get out of this. Another funny episode is Andy and Opie and George are sitting on the front porch, and Barney comes up, and he's drawn a sketch of a kid and describes him, and it takes Barney a minute or two, but he realizes that the kid was just in front of him, and he's embarrassed and gets upset about it, and he leaves the front porch and hands Andy the little notebook paper and says, "You want a picture of a kid?" and walks off. Well, the real crux of this particular episode comes to the point where Andy uses his logic and reasoning to talk George out of running away from home, and he does this by telling him about how many sandwiches he would need, and tells George, says, "I don't ever remember seeing a cowboy pulling a wagon full of sandwiches." And then he talks about the other supplies, the bad weather he'd run into, and then he brings up his parents, and even says to little George, "Wonder what your pa's doing right now," and it starts to hit home with the boy, and the boy finally convinces himself that he could maybe wait to August when he's a little bit older and the weather's not so bad, and maybe he can run away then. So he decides he's not going to run away. In the meantime, Opie has been in the kitchen making sandwiches for his young friend to take on his trip, and it's a very interesting type of sandwiches he'd made. He made a peanut butter and sardine sandwich. Oh my gosh. A peanut butter and bologna. A peanut butter and liverwurst. And oh gosh, I can't eat liverwurst, but I know a lot of my family do. And then finally a peanut butter and peanut butter sandwich, along with some sweet pickles, olives, marshmallows, mellows, and bubble gum. So again, it was real interesting that Opie was willing to help out his friend, but you know, Andy calls him in and says, "Opie, you don't need to make sandwiches. Texas decided not to run away from home." And Andy's on the phone, and he speaks with George parents and lets them know that he has them. At this point, Opie then realizes that Andy has now told his parents about George, Tex Foley, and that was a promise that Andy had made to Opie that he wouldn't tell. So Andy realizes he's in a little bit of a fix and wonders how he's going to explain this to Opie. So let's listen to how Andy finally explains this predicament to Opie.
Suppose there was a little lake, and there was a sign on it saying, no swimming allowed. Now, that's a law, and a law is pretty much the same thing as a rule. Ain't that right? Well, now, suppose it was a little boy, and he broke that law and went swimming anyway and started to drown. Now, suppose it was a fellow standing there watching. Now, should he obey the law and let that little boy drown, or should he break the law and save the little boy?
Well, you couldn't let him drown.
Well, of course not. And I couldn't let George's ma and pa worry themselves sick of wondering whatever happened to him.
So as you heard, Andy basically explains to Opie, sometimes you have conflicting laws and you have to do what's really better for the common good, in this case, to save a boy from drowning. So Opie accepts the explanation. And again, what we have here is, a development in Andy's character that we're going to talk about in a little behind-the-scenes stuff in just a moment, about how Andy's character began to develop on the Andy Griffith Show, and it was a change from what was originally thought about. This episode ends in a little segment where Barney and Opie in front of the courthouse, and they mention about Barney's car. Now, remember, there is an episode 90, that's called Barney's First Car. And in the storyline, Barney buys a car. We'll get to that later on. But this causes a discrepancy because in this episode, he says Barney's car. Now, of course, you could say that Barney may have borrowed the car. It may be his mother's or something like that. But Barney had parked in front of the courthouse. And so Andy and Opie are just getting open in the door and getting ready to push Barney's car in front of the fire hydrant when Barney comes around a corner, pulls out his ticket book, and says, uh-huh, so I caught you in the act, and begins to write him a ticket. So in this particular episode, Andy does three things that Barney wants to write him a ticket for. So again, it's a very humorous episode. Let's talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes along with, this episode, and then I'll give you the trivia question for the day. One of the things that happened, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, is about Andy realized he needed to be a straight man. Well, when he first started doing this role of Andy Taylor, he said he went only on a feeling and an instinct. And as written in the Andy Griffith Show book by Richard Kelly, he talks about that the evolution of Andy Taylor, the character, was one of the most significant factors in the success of this show. One thing that many people don't realize is there were actually two Floyd the Barbers. So in the ninth show, and again, these numbers, depending upon how you look at the show, they were filmed in one order but actually shown on television in another order. So I'm just giving you the ninth show as mentioned in Dr. Kelly's book. He says they put in a barber, and the guy who played the barber was just scared to death. He couldn't remember his lines, and he wasn't funny. So they later shot all of the barber scenes without any explanation on the show with a new barber who was Howard McNair, who... I've heard Andy and Barney talk about that Howard was so funny they had a difficult time keeping a straight face when he was on the scene in many of the scenes that they've done. And so that what they did was they continued to add characters to the show later on when it was needed. But, you know, so the show really developed. When Andy's character started to develop, he became what was known as the protector. You know, now he had to protect Barney Fife more than any of the other characters, but you saw him protecting and solving the problems of many of the other characters on the show. And that's really what Andy did. There are very few episodes where Andy creates his own complications. And this was different back in that time with the Lucy Show and All in the Family. You know, Lucy and Archie Bunker created their own complications and the messes they got into. But in Andy's case, what they wanted to happen is for other people to create problems that Andy would himself would solve those problems with his common sense. So again, is a big evolution and it continued throughout the Andy Griffith Show. Now, for today's trivia question, in this episode of The Runaway Kid, it is revealed that Opie has a pet. What kind of pet did he have? Again, in this episode, it is revealed that Opie has a pet. What kind of pet does he have? If you'd like to answer the trivia question or have any comments or suggestions for the Burke on Mayberry podcast, don't hesitate to contact me at burkek@etsu.edu. And as they say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours. Thanks for listening.